Welcome to the Tortoise Ecofin Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us as we provide timely updates on the market.
Hello, I'm Matt Salee, Energy Portfolio Manager at Tortoise. Midstream had another good run last week, supported by more positive macro data. First, the IEA reported the global crude oil surplus has drained over recent quarters from the combination of demand recovery and restrained supply. Storage has dropped from nearly 300 million excess barrels all the way back to average inventory levels over the last 5 years. Speaking of demand, the TSA screenings hit another one-year high at 1.7 million passengers on May 9th. That compares to the low right about a year ago of 163,000 passengers and an average of 800,000 over the last year. Just to take it up to a higher level, simply put, the economy seems to be booming. The massive stimulus, high savings rate, and pent-up demand are driving red-hot inflation, as shown in April's CPI and PPI readings, led by things like used car prices up 10% and hotels up 9%. It's even showing up in wages. McDonald's announced a 10% wage hike, and Amazon's hiring 75,000 workers and offering a $1,000 signing bonus in some cases. To understand why companies are taking these measures, just look at the JOLTS report last week, reporting over 8 million job openings, the highest level on record by far. It's so extreme that several states are even opting out of federal unemployment benefits programs in June and July. Moving on, I spent some time last week participating in the Citi Energy Conference, and the company refrain was best described by Chevron's mantra, higher returns, lower carbon. Despite greatly improved commodity prices, public companies are keeping capital plans flat and instead generating higher returns and more free cash flow, which is used to fortify balance sheets and increase the return of capital to equity holders. But I thought the most interesting presentation was that of Ernest Moniz, the 13th Secretary of Energy and current CEO of Energy Futures Initiative. He's very focused on delivering energy stability in the face of increasing extreme weather events. Also along these lines, he believes the U.S. is woefully unprepared regarding cybersecurity for energy infrastructure, but more on that in a minute. Regarding the energy evolution, he broke out the future into three periods, the first of which is now to 2030. During this period, the drive will be rolling out existing technologies to reduce carbon output from electric generation. Here, the recipe is simple. Replace coal with renewables and gas, but also adding carbon capture and sequestration to thermal generation. In the next phase, from 2030 to 2050, he sees the need to create long-term power storage to balance renewable supply that's necessary in meeting the president's goals for wind and solar penetration. As he sees it, the best line of sight today is blue hydrogen from natural gas plus CCUS, where America is uniquely positioned due to natural gas prices at a fraction of other parts of the world. Further, there's the need for reduced costs for green hydrogen and supercharged innovation related to nuclear power and direct air carbon capture advancement. Beyond 2050, his concepts start to get a little more difficult for me to follow, including genetically modified plants to generate biofuels, which, combined with CCUS during the process, is carbon negative. On the jobs front, he argues for an acceleration of energy transition to stimulate job growth, but doing so in a way that doesn't dislocate jobs in specific communities in the energy sector now. Figuring this part out will remove a key headwind to energy transition. Specifically, we need to localize the supply chain, not just to create jobs, but to deal with the logistic challenges of a massive renewable rollout. Current oil and gas workers have the skill set to fill these labor needs, so it seems that we can meet this challenge. Speaking of carbon capture, on May 11th, Netherlands pledged $2.6 billion to back a CCUS project at the Port of Rotterdam with several companies, including Shell and Exxon. This project can capture an estimated 2.5 million metric tons of CO2, which is over 10% of the emissions from the port, or 1.5% of the country's total emissions. The project will build a network to capture emissions from refineries and industrial plants at the port and compress and store it in depleted North Sea oil fields. The project is estimated to cost about 80 euros per ton, so the subsidy will make up the 25 per euro ton difference between the cost and the current market price of CO2 in the EU. This seems pretty reasonable to make a big dent in emissions, and with additional investment, the cost will likely come down to make the technology even more competitive. Now back to cybersecurity. In Brian Kesson's podcast from the prior week, he talked about the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack. Well, late Wednesday afternoon, and after paying a $5 million ransom, in cryptocurrency no less, the company announced they were bringing the pipeline back into operation and supply will ramp over the next few days. The pipeline being out of service was a big deal for those on the East Coast, where fuel shortages were starting to occur in several markets, including some military bases. It was such a big deal that the White House is getting daily briefings on the situation and launched an all-of-government effort to ensure access to critical energy supply chains. I applaud the focus, but at the same time, I can't help but notice the ironic juxtaposition with the situation of Enbridge Line 5, where Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has ordered the pipeline, which delivers 55% of the state's total fuel supply, to shut down. Well, I'll leave it there for now. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next episode. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseecofin.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although we believe that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intention. Discussion or analysis of any specific company-related news or investment sectors are meant primarily as a result of recent newsworthy events surrounding those companies or by way of providing updates on certain sectors of the market. Through our family of registered investment advisors, we provide investment advice to related funds and others that includes investment into those sectors or companies discussed in these podcasts. As a result, we stand to beneficially profit from any rise in value from many of the companies mentioned herein, including companies within the investment sectors broadly discussed.